All right, Colossians chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 9 and 10. Gary preached a little bit Sunday morning about the will of God. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight here. Are you doing the will of God in your life? You know, a lot of people just live like it's some great mystery. Or it's always something just out of reach. You know, they want to do the will of God, but they don't know what that is. Well, hopefully a little few things we're going to say here tonight will help about that. Let's look at some scripture. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Boy, that is a full verse. All right, I want to read a couple more verses. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. And this is a familiar verse. Romans 12, 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 6. It says, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. So, one thing is for sure, when this life is over and you face God, you're going to be glad if you did the will of God, and you're going to be sorry if you didn't. It's most important. And it's something we need to know what we're talking about when we hear these words. All right, now to know and to do the will of God is the result, first of all, of a right relationship with God. You're not going to know the will of God. You're not going to do the will of God. You're not going to care about it. If you don't have a right relationship with God, if you don't walk with God, if you don't fellowship with God, if you don't pray, if you don't read the Bible, if you don't fellowship with other Christians, if your life is not centered around God and His Word and the things of God, you're not going to know the will of God, and you're not going to care, and you're not going to do it. And then you're going to face God ashamed at the best and condemned at the worst. It's not a guessing game. The will of God is not a guessing game. It's not, you don't discern the will of God by opening closed doors. You know, I've said this to you before. That's nonsense. The Christian life and this pilgrimage that we're on is not to follow the course of least resistance. That's not how we find our way through this life. The will of God won't take us through the path of least resistance. So we don't discern it by, well, there's an open door. Must be the will of God. That's a guessing game. That you might know the will of God, the perfect will of God. What does the verse say? Alright, let me find it here. Oh, it's Romans chapter 12, verse 2. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And doing the will of God from the heart, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 6 that we read. It's not a guessing game. It's not a gambling game. Fleeces and tests to discern God's will. Oh Lord, if you want me to do this, if this is your will, then make tomorrow a sunny day. If it's a cloudy day, then I'll know that it's not your will. That is not how we determine the will of God in the New Testament church. It's not somebody else's responsibility or right to discern God's will for you. Nobody knows the inner workings of God in the life of someone else. And so it's not the pastor's job, it's or responsibility or right. And it's not nobody else's. It's not the parents to their children either. I mean, really? You know, What have you ever thought about how you would feel? And like the missionaries we had here a couple of weeks ago. You ever thought about it, Seth, how you'd feel if some of these kids, young as they are, wanted to go off to a mission field somewhere? Yeah. It'd be a trial to deal with, wouldn't it? Yeah, I would. Sure would. But we can't discern or determine the will of God for somebody else, and we can't tell them what the will of God is. That's nonsense. That's wickedness, really, for us to try to think that we know the will of God for somebody else. Now, there's some things that are the will of God for everybody, and we know that. Yes. And that's kind of, we're going to hit on that a little bit here, too, but we can't, it's not somebody else's responsibility. It's not a guessing game. It's not a gambling game. It's not somebody else's job to tell you. You can't find it out from somebody else. You can't go to somebody else and find out the will of God for your life. That's what all the Bible schools and colleges proclaim. You know, come here and study with us and find the will of God for your life. Well, they're going to tell you what to do, in other words. It's not an insurance policy against suffering and sickness and hardship and problems. You know? Well, he's just out of the will of God. That's how come his house burnt and he had a wreck and all of his kids got killed. He wasn't in the will of God. That is foolish talk right there. That is ignorant talk. You don't know if he's in the will of God or not. And to determine that somebody's out of the will of God by some calamity that happens to him, you're just like Job's friends if you do that. That's no way to do. And the will of God shouldn't be sought in fear like that either. It's not an insurance policy, see? Well, I'm going to do the will of God because I sure don't want to have heart. I want things to go well for me. I want it to, you know, like the prayer of Jabez, you know, just want blessings and peace and easy sailing. That's what I want. So I'm going to do my best to do God's will. Well, you're not in God's will if you're not willing to suffer for His sake. It is about knowing God and walking with Him. The will of God is about knowing God and walking with Him. Now, to do the will of God is to do His pleasure, His choice. God, I'm talking about. Do God's desire instead of yours. Do God's pleasure instead of yours. Do the will of God. Yeah, that's what it is. To do His desire, His what He's determined. Do what God has determined instead of what you have determined. You see, you can't know the will of God until it's about God instead of you. You must decrease and He must increase. That's how you find the will of God. That's how you do the will of God. That's how you know the will of God. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, another familiar verse. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. See? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. First business of life. That ought to be above everything else. Seek the kingdom of God. Well, what does that mean? Well, that means to do His will. Right. To find your place in the kingdom of God. Yeah, find your post and stay there. Man it. Do what God put you here on this earth to do. And don't always be thinking that it's out yonder somewhere else. It's somewhere in the future. It's in some other place. It's in a, sure can't do it here under these circumstances. No, that's not. The will of God is right where you are. You're not in the will of God if you're not obeying God where you are. Ain't no other place that you can find something else that'll make you mysteriously in the will of God if you're not in the will of God where you're at. To do the will of God, you got to know God intimately. You got to know Him close. You got to draw nigh to God. And He'll draw nigh to you. And you'll know. You'll understand.
Yes, sir.
And it won't just be feelings. You won't be led by feelings and emotions. There's a reality to it that you won't find out about until you draw nigh to God. It's because it's a relationship based on love. You serve God because you love Him. We used to sing a song like that. Yeah. And that's the truth. We do what we do. We live for God. We're here tonight. I hope and pray because we love God. Amen. I hope you're here because you love God, not just because you feel like you got to be here. You'd rather be home watching TV or doing something else. No, that's why, you know, there ain't too many here. Because there ain't too many people loves God, really. They want the benefits, but they don't really want God. They just want what He's got. To do the will of God. It's also, you know, it's so important that children be taught to obey, because that's very important training in making them able to discern God's will. Because what is God's will? What does it matter without obedience? I mean, I thought about this, and it seems to me like being in the will of God is basically just being obedient to God. Yes, it is. To do the will of God, you've got to be submitted to Him completely. 1 John chapter 3, verse 22, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. That's the will of God. Can you say that? Can you say that? That because we keep I keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. You see, don't let that choke you. I know that all the teaching of this modern gospel is that there ain't no such a thing as that. That's presumptuous to say that. I didn't say it. I just read it out of the Scripture to you. That's what the Bible says. And that is talking about, you know, that ought to be our words. He said, we. That includes us. This is not some other group of people that He's talking about here. This, it's us. It's the New Testament church. People who've been saved through the blood of Christ. We whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And that's abomination to these modern idolatrous apostates who say that nobody can do that, and you can't. That's sinless perfection. No, it ain't. It's just doing what's pleasing in God's sight. What in the world? That's what a wife ought to do for her husband. That's what a husband ought to do for his wife. That's how you get along. That's how you get close. That's how you maintain love and peace in your home and in your family and in your church and in every relationship in life. Why do we treat people better than we treat God? It's kind of absurd, ain't it? We ought to be able to do those things that are pleasing in His sight. How are you going to be in the will of God if you're not the will of God? What God wants, what He desires, what He has determined, the will of God. We got to be submitted to what He wants. We got to be more concerned about what He wants than what we want, or what she wants, or what the children want. Got to do what God wants. That's the will of God. Can't say you're in the will of God if anything else is more important. If you're willing to push God out of the way to have your way or her way or their way or whatever, can't be in the will of God. Psalm 143, verse 10. Teach me to do Thy will, for Thou art my God. Thy Spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. And I like reading the psalmist and other scriptures where they're talking like that. That's a submitted heart. That's somebody wanting to do what's pleasing in God's sight. You want to do the will of God? Well, it's basically wanting to do what pleases Him. Isn't it? Sure it is. I tried to teach my kids. I probably failed at it because I don't see... you know, I didn't see any fruit of it for a long time. Maybe I do now, some. But I tried to teach them this. You know, me saying jump, and they say, how high, sir? That's not obedience. Obedience is doing what they know I want them to do. Yes. Obedience is not doing what they know that I would not be pleased with. That's obedience. You ain't got an obedient child if they don't do what pleases you when you ain't there. And the only way they'll do what pleases you is when you beat it out of them. Now see, our God ain't like that. You ain't got no relationship with Him if that's the way it is. And you'll find out down the road that you ain't got no relationship with your kids if that's the way it is. It's got to be more than that. They got to obey you because they love you. And that's why we obey God. That's why people won't obey God. That's why they say, I can't. It's impossible to obey God. They don't love Him. They don't want to please Him. They don't care about pleasing Him. They want to do what they want to do. They do just like children. Say, I forgot. You know, I didn't know. Junk like that. But obedience is doing what you already know. See, you got to know Him, and you got to be acquainted with God, and you got to be pretty intimate with God to know Him, to know what pleases Him and what doesn't. And people are so blinded with the world and worldliness, and they listen to it, and they sang with it, and they watch all, and all the philosophy of the world has so eat them up that they don't even know. I have no idea what pleases God and what displeases Him. Hear it all the time. I don't see nothing wrong with that. When God says it's an abomination to Him. Yep. Says it in His Word, and they don't see nothing wrong with it. Well, you got a person that doesn't know God. That's what you got. All right, now to know the will of God, you must be faithful to Him. 1 Thessalonians 4:3. For this is the will of God. All right, now that's what we're talking about here tonight, ain't it? And when the Bible, when you hear the Bible say, for this is the will of God, you ought to perk up and listen because He's fixing to tell you something real important about what the will of God is. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. All right. You say, that's ridiculous. No, it's not. There's a whole lot of people don't know that, obviously. I see them about every day I live now on this social media and stuff. I know people right now that split their family up with some other man and claiming to be covered by the blood of Christ publicly. Nonsense. Lie. Deceive. Willfully ignorant at the best. Wicked is what it is. Is what it really is. To know the will of God, you must know God. To know the will of God, you must know Him through His Word. Because His Word is truth. And you can't know Him by dreams and visions and smoking pot or whatever. You can't find taking other drugs. You can't know God that way. That's not God. That's the devil you're finding out about. You must do away with all your preconceived opinions about God in order to know Him and to know His will and to do His will. You got to give up all these ideas of God that you have gathered over a lifetime and then molded and morphed them into something in your mind, your concept of God. You got to junk all that stuff. If you're going to do the will of God, you must do away with all your prejudiced opinions based on your own desires and preferences in order to know God. That's the real problem I see with people. I see people that are good people, people that are reverent, people that have a regard for God, a fear of God, but they do not know God. Isn't it something that Jesus, when in Matthew chapter 7, he said that in that day He will say to all those multitudes of people, depart from Me, ye that work iniquity, for I never knew you. There was never any relationship. That's what He's saying. He's not saying that He never knew them or knew of them or anything like that, no. There can't be any relationship when one person's got the wall up and the shade's pulled and says, nope, ain't letting Him in. Go away. Don't open the door. Keep the windows shut. I don't want him here. I don't want him seeing. I don't want him looking. I don't want him. Well, that's the way a lot of people do with God, see. And that's why he's going to say, I never knew you. So to know the will of God sometimes includes suffering. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 17 says this, for it is better if the will of God be so. Sometimes the will of God is that you suffer. That ye suffer for well doing, not for evil doing, for well done. Sometimes it's the will of God that we as Christians suffer for doing good. Now the Bible says that, see? Peter told us that here. And it is true. Don't let it shake you and don't let it shock you when you suffer for doing what is right. When you suffer for doing good, for well doing, than for evil doing. If the will of God be so that you suffer for well doing, than for evil doing. It's better that you suffer for well doing than evil doing. See? So 1 Peter chapter 4, next chapter, verses 1 and 2. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. Wow. What all them phrases are in the Bible. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. So sometimes suffering is the will of God. So don't think the will of God is trouble-free, smooth sailing, happy day. Being in the will of God clears you of any trouble and assures you a smooth ride. Don't think that. Sometimes it doesn't. In fact, you're going to get a taste of it no matter what. Always. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 19. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God. Did you catch that? He's talking about people who suffer according to the will of God. Yeah. You're going to have a hard time sometimes. Just because you're having a hard time, don't think. Don't immediately go to, oh no, I must miss God. Surely I'm not in the will of God. I mean, if things ain't going good for me, if the money ain't rolling in and everything ain't going just right, surely there's something wrong with me. Nope. Let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful creator. So what are you supposed to do? If you're suffering, keep doing well. Just keep doing what pleases God. Keep doing what's pleasing in His sight. Just keep on seeking the to please God. That is the will of God. Right. Doing what pleases Him. Jesus said about Jesus, always done what was pleasing in His sight. Always does. Now, there are some things that are specifically pointed out as part of God's will in His Word. I want to read you three verses here. Five, one of them's a passage, it's not. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. If you're unthankful, if you don't give thanks, not in the will of God. You're not doing the will of God if you don't give thanks. And that don't mean just when you sit down to eat. That means for everything. In everything, give thanks. Not just the good things, the bad things. Everything that comes your way, thank God. That's the will of God. It says it straight up. This is the will of God concerning you. That in everything, you give thanks. 1 Thessalonians 4:3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. We just read that. Ain't no excuse for it. There's no rationale. There's no justifying it. There's no circumstance where it's right. It's the will of God that you abstain from it. That means no immorality, no premarital, no extramarital, none of the queer stuff, none of this stuff. Abstain from fornication. And this, well, what's this, Alyssa Milano, what is she anyway? An actress? And she thinks she's doing some great thing. Well, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, for so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Well, there we go. Now, what would that do for our country? How do you put to silence the foolishness, the ignorance of foolish men? That's all I hear on the news and everywhere else. All I hear is ignorance. I don't hear wisdom. I don't hear knowledge. All I hear is a bunch of ignorance. And why is it dominating everything? Why is it supreme? Why is it prevailing over everything else? Ignorance of foolish men. Well, because the people who are called by His name, they're not well-doing. They're not doing well. Not doing well. No, they're worldly. They're uncommitted. They're loose living, loose talking, profane, messed up. They've lost their savor. So the foolishness, foolish men and their ignorance, that's all there is left in the world. The benefits, now the will of God is for us to, with well-doing, to put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Not with guns. That ain't what he said, is it? Well-doing. I could go on and on about that, but we won't. All right, last thing here. The benefits of knowing and doing God's will. Well, it is evidence and a guarantee of eternal life. Say, oh, are you making works? No, I'm just going to tell you what the Bible says here. 1 John 2:17, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. That's a pretty good benefit. Just loving God and doing what pleases Him. Trying to find out what pleases Him. Trying to get to know Him so you know what pleases Him and what displeases Him so you can do accordingly. You want to do the will of God? You know, that's seeing people that ain't even in this realm. When they talk about doing the will of God, they're thinking, well, where should I go in the world as a missionary? What position should I seek in the church somewhere? That's all they think about the will of God. Or who should I marry? Or, you know, you'll never know who to marry if you don't do the will of God right now. What's the will of God? Knowing God, knowing what pleases Him, what displeases Him, and doing likewise. Doing accordingly. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that, what? Doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Who's going to heaven? People that do His will. Right there it is. Not people that said, oh, Lord Jesus, please come in my heart and save me. And amen. And then get up and don't live for God. That ain't going to do it. The ones that do the will of God. Now the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, all that. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You have true fellowship with Christ. Now that's a good benefit there of doing the will of God. Living in the will of God. You go to heaven when you die. You get understanding and discernment about what is of God and what is not. You're not in darkness anymore when you're doing the will of God. John 7:17, Jesus said, "If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God, or whether I speak of myself." You get that meaning right there? Jesus said, if you will do the will of God, you'll understand what's right, what's wrong, what's good doctrine, what's bad doctrine. That's why all the doctrines, people ain't willing to do the will of God. They're in their own will. They call it in the flesh. They're still seeking their own. They're still operating in their own intellect and abilities. They're not seeking to do God's will. You have true fellowship with Christ and His people. Mark 3:35. For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. Remember when Jesus said that? They said, your mother's out here and your brother, and they're wanting to see you. He said, who's my mother and who's my brother? But these which do the will of God. That's my mother. That's my brother. So you have true fellowship with Christ and His people if you're one of those who live in the will of God. You're an obedient child of God. You do what's pleasing to Him. You know He's watching. You know He knows your thoughts afar off. You have true fellowship with God's people. You're able to stand and be perfect and complete in Christ. Oh, if I was in a lot of places, they'd throw tomatoes at me right now. But hold on. Colossians 4:12. Now, did you hear what I just said? I said you're able to stand and be perfect and complete in Christ if you do His will. All right. Now, you think I'm going too far? All right. Listen. Colossians 4:12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in the will of God. That's what I just said. You thought it was me making it up. No, it's right out of the Bible. Right out of your King James Bible. It says word for word. You're able to stand and be perfect and complete in Christ. All right. You actually receive the promises that God has offered for those who will seek Him. I mean, you actually do receive the promises. Hebrews 10:36. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. You just need patience. We just need patience. We just need to do the will of God, live in the will of God, and be patient. He promised. He gave us all these promises here. You know, there's just no other way. I know modern Christianity's invented this religion where you can be saved and on your way to heaven, but out of the will of God. I don't see where that's at in the Bible anywhere. I can't find it. Now, maybe some of these smarter me can show me where it's at, but I don't see it in there. I've read you scripture after scripture after scripture here tonight. It's every one of them is tied to obedience and doing what's pleasing to God. That's the will of God. Do you understand tonight what the will of God is? Are you going to struggle now the rest of your life to try to figure out what the will of God is for you? It ain't complicated. It's very, very simple. Just know God. If you don't know Him, better get to it. You don't know Him, I mean, and if you do know Him, stay at it. You can know Him a lot better. You can be a lot more pleasing the more you know about Him. You know, takes us a lifetime to get to know a wife or a husband. Ain't that something? How many times have you heard or put something on the table and that he don't like and said, you know, don't you know I don't like it? Well, I didn't know you didn't like it. Don't do God that way. That's not conducive to getting along well, is it? Don't make everybody happy. It's offensive to me. You know, we've been married 42 years here almost. Been knowing each other 43 years. She ought to know. And I ought to know her. It offends her if I don't know something that I ought to know about her. It offends me if she don't know something that she ought to know about me. Well, what about God? You reckon after you've been living and going to church and hearing the preaching and reading your Bible and praying for all these years and you don't know that about God? What do you think God feels like? He knows all about you. That's why, you know, that's the way it is. All right, let's stand. Amen. Everybody can live in the will of God. Every Christian can live in the will of God. There's not just a few who find the perfect will of God in their life. No, everyone can. You ought to have a desire to. Really should. All of us ought to be concerned, ought to care. Because you're going to face God someday. And don't you want His smile? Don't you want Him to say, "Well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Do you think He could say it to you if He come right now? Would He say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? Because God can't lie. And if you're not a good and faithful servant, He ain't going to call you one. Amen. All that imputing stuff ain't going to work there. You're going to find out that's all a fairy tale. Amen. Father, thank You for the Word of God. And pray You bless it to our hearts and get us home safely. Guide and direct our lives. Meet the needs of these that are sick and help us, Lord, to be a blessing and help us to be able to. In Jesus' name, amen.